5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
When I had come down this hill, I had seen this creature cross the road. It would have ripped my locked door from my truck, extracted me from my vehicle, and there wouldn't have been a damn thing I could have done about it.
This thing, I got to notice in its eyes. Its eyes was real, real evil, real sinister. The look it was giving me.
Seven, what are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sheriff, see ya!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
Welcome to Sasquatch Chronicles, a place where people share their encounters. Let's start the show. Feels like 1970 something. Like we're all hanging out in Studio 54. There it is. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a great show planned for you this evening. I want to give a shout out to Robert H. I was just laughing right before I went on the air. I was reading Robert's Twitter message. And he was saying, thanks for not sounding like a robot. I listened to a lot of other Bigfoot podcasts, and the guys sound like robots. Well, it is what it is on this show, Robert. I appreciate the kind words. You get the good, bad, and ugly. You know, sometimes I hit home runs, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I put my foot in my mouth, and it is what it is. But I appreciate you listening. Thanks for being here tonight, everyone. Got a great show coming up. I have a hunter coming up. And Hunter actually had one of these creatures come up to the back window and look at him. And they spent a long time looking at each other. And gosh, this guy has a great description on what he saw. He talks about the ear placement, talks about its eyes, talked about different things, you know, he noticed with regard to how thick the hair was in some places and not in others. So look for that coming up here shortly. I'll also be welcoming Steve to the show. Steve heard me on Talk is Jericho, on Chris Jericho's show, talking about the devil dogs. And he's down there in Alabama, and he came across one of these things, and he has a great description too as well. So look for all of that coming up here in a moment. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you get a chance, check out the website, sasquatchchronicles.com. I spoke to a great witness on Wednesday night. The show was titled The Neighbors. He just bought this cabin in the middle of nowhere and started having activity, started having these things bang on the walls, look in windows, growl at him. I mean, just constant activity. And it's very fascinating. You know, a lot of these people aren't Bigfoot researchers. They aren't even really into the topic. This just happens. And one of the things the witness said that was very interesting to me is he went out there one night when they were whooping and hollering in the tree line, took his green laser out there and shined it into the tree line. And he said that these things just went nuts. They sounded like gorillas just going crazy. And it's the moment he put that green laser on them, they just went nuts. They went completely nuts. A very fascinating show. Well, let's get into it tonight. I want to welcome Hunter. Hey, Hunter, thanks for coming on tonight. I appreciate you being here.
Oh, man, no problem, Wes. I just like to get the word out and help anybody who's listening to this show because I know this show reaches tens of thousands of people. And anybody that's, you know, doesn't want to talk about it, I understand, but feel free to get the word out. You know, you're not the only person that's seen something. There's somebody seeing something, because I have, and I know I'm not the only one. So you're not the only one out there, guys. Don't feel isolated.
I appreciate that, man. I that's very cool of you. I know a lot of people have had encounters. I've had people sit and listen to the show for 2 years and then finally write in with their encounter. And you're right. They're not the only ones out there. I mean, these things are real. I try and tell people these all the time. These things are real. One of the reasons why I wanted to do the show was to, you know, instead of having researchers on all the time, you know, have the witnesses on and talk about what they've seen. But start from the beginning. Where did your encounter take place?
If anybody's listening in Ohio, this was happened near Salt Fork State Park. It was the town. Not the town of Salt Fork, but it was one of the properties out by Salt Fork Lake. It's about 8 or 9 miles from there, if anybody listening knows where I'm talking about. It's a beautiful place, but it's definitely far back in the woods. My encounter happened 2010, I think. It was August or July. And the reason I say it was August or July, I just remember how hot, you know, that particular day. I just remember some parts about that day, just how hot it was. It was just appallingly hot. And I guess we'll just start from, you know, I was in my room. My bedroom was the back bedroom of the trailer that we lived in. I was on the bed, and if anybody lives in a trailer, you know that, you know, I'm sure you've probably seen them, Wes. There's trailer windows that are, they probably stand 7 feet off the ground, and they're real wide. They usually touch from wall to wall, you know, from the bedroom. And, you know, they stretch to they're about 10 feet, you know, they go from 7 feet to, I'd say, about 10 feet. And they're real wide, you know, these real big trailer windows with the cranks on them that you can flip them out, you know, in case you want some air. And I was watching a TV show. There was an argument in my house. I was 12 years old at the time. I think it was my parents, as I'm telling it. And I just happened to look out my window, and I don't see it at first, but then I go back to my show. But as soon as my eyes transfix on the TV, something in me was, I don't know, I'm glad I looked, you know, because something in me told me to look, you know, the fight or flight response kicked in, I think, and just said, look. And I looked, and standing in my window was a very, very large Sasquatch. And, you know, I've got a 57-inch chest, which is fairly big for most people. But this thing, I'm telling you, Wes, it had, if you were to spread your arms, this thing would come up mid-forearm, is like how wide this thing is, you know, on both sides. So just way bigger than me. And my first thought was, is it a gorilla? You know, I just, you know, because that's my first thought when I seen it. I don't know why, but then I thought, well, gorillas don't live here. And I didn't know about Sasquatch at the time. I didn't know anything about it. You know, I guess I'll get into some of the details first. I remember how broad it was. And I remember the face structure. It had almost a human-like face structure, but the jawbone was way thicker than a human's. It looked, it almost looked gorilla-ish just from the thickness. You know, it looked like something, you know, the King Kong, you know how the jaw kind of protrudes outward.
Yeah.
It's real thick, and, you know, it's disproportionate to the rest of the face. I remember the face very well. It looked, just from the ambient light in the room, I could see their, like, looked like old leather almost, just from, like, how tough this thing's skin was. It looked like old leather, like an old pair of beat up leather boots, you know, with wrinkles in it. And the nose kind of set back a little bit from what humans would, it kind of set back into the face a little bit. And this thing's eyes, you know, this is the thing that I most remember. I remember the most was just the look in this thing's eyes, the red beady eyes. And, you know, I've had different flashlights and stuff. You know, you'll get different colors, you'll get different eye shine. But I remember just the redness of the eyes. I can't describe to you how red it was. I've never seen a red to match it. And it looked evil. And, you know, when it was standing there, I was looking straight at it, and I was 2-3 inches away from the window, and this thing was face to face with me. You know, because I was up on the bed. The bed's a little bit, you know how beds are a little bit higher, and if you stand up, you know, if you're a kid that, I think I was probably 5 feet tall at the time. I remember looking at it face to face, and this thing was so huge. And I remember the muscles on it, the hair on its arms was really, really thick. I could tell it looked shaggy. It looked like a homeless person's head on its arms. You know, just that real shaggy look, and hasn't been cut in a while, and really, really thick and knotted, matted down. And across the chest, there was slight hair, but there was so little hair that you could see the muscular structure of the animal. And, you know, I'm not a wimp. You know, to be honest with you, I'm kind of tearing up because I'm not a wimp. I'm a cage fighter. You know, that's a source of income for me. You know, I've been in hairy situations, but I have never, ever, Wes, been that terrified my whole life. Because I knew if this thing wanted to reach in that window, there was nothing that I could do about it. I would have been lunch meat. You know, to me, that bothers me. And, you know, it was just scary to me because, number one, I didn't want to sound crazy, and just even talking about it, even acknowledging it, brought up the fear of that night. And it's the most terrified I've ever been in my life. I've been shot at. You know, I've had hairy encounters with other people. I've had bad situations, but nothing has ever brought the fear out of me like that.
I'm curious, how long did it stay there? How long did you guys lock eyes?
If I were to say, it was probably three. It was enough time for a commercial to start and come back on the regular TV show. In that, it was at least 3 minutes, but it seemed like it was 10 hours. It just seemed so long. And, you know, I can't tell you enough how afraid I was.
Did the creature's face change at all? Did the expression change at all?
It just had this evil look in its eyes. You know, it had this, like, you know, like the movie The Terminator, you know, where it's just that blank expression, that just 1,000-yard stare, just pure evil.
Yeah, yeah.
That was this expression the whole time. Very emotionless. It was so emotionless that it was like, what is this thing getting ready to do?
Did you notice any movement of the eyes? I mean, was it really looking you up and down, or was it just blank as it was looking through the window?
It definitely seen me because it was looking at me. You know, I could see the eyes moving, and, you know, I could see the eyes moving, definitely. You know, I could see the eyes changing from the light in the room.
Now, were the eyes, was it reflecting a red? Is that kind of what you saw, kind of a red reflection? Or
I think that's probably what it is, you know, a red reflection. It, you know, because I don't think it has a red eye tint. I just think it was from the ambient light in the room shining back. You know, maybe if it would have been a different color on the TV or a black light, it would have been yellow. I truly don't know.
No, and I understand. I just wanted to ask you, and your description's right on, by the way, with what people see. What color was the creature, and was the skin a different color, or was it the same color?
From what I could gather, the skin was kind of like if you've ever had a pair of brown boots and you've walked through the mud with them and had them a couple of years, you know how they start to fade into kind of like a, you know, like a black, you know, because they're starting to decay. That's what it reminded me of. It reminded me of, you know, like old brown, half-rotted leather. And the hair on it, it was just jet black as black can be. I mean, it was so black, it kind of had a blue tinge to it.
That's very interesting. And what did you do next? Did the creature turn and walk off? Or
I seen it just turn its head in just a blur. And I remember running into the bathroom and sleeping in the bathroom for the next night because I felt safe. And, you know, it's a terrifying experience. You know, and there's been nights at that old place that I felt like something was watching me. You know, it was like I could almost feel something in the air of you're being looked at.
After this incident, did you talk to your parents about it? Were you like, hey, I saw something at the back window? Did you tell anyone about it?
I remember telling my dad, and he just laughed. You know, my dad, he's this real big, you know, he's like 6'2", he's like 6'2", like 200 pounds. He's a big guy. And, you know, he's this big, burly guy, and, you know, oh, that ain't nothing, buddy. You didn't see nothing. You're just scared. You know, he's like, even so, you know, it ain't that scary. You know, I wish my dad could have seen it. I wish people could see what I've seen just to know that these things exist.
I'm really curious about the face. When you looked at it, I know you had mentioned gorilla. You thought a gorilla had gotten loose, and I know a zoo wasn't far from the property. When you looked at the face, were you thinking it was more human, or were you thinking this is more animal, or what was your impression?
It looked very human. It almost looked Neanderthalic, maybe is a better word to describe it. Or, you know, it looked maybe, have you ever heard of Homo erectus?
Absolutely, yeah.
It looked like a mix between Homo erectus and a Neanderthal is what it kind of reminded me of. You know, maybe, you know, because I don't have, you know, I can't explain what I saw other than I saw a Bigfoot, and that's the only logical explanation.
The size, you know, the size of the thing, I mean, that window is 7 feet up, and it's, did you get the impression that it was looking directly in the window? Did it have to lean down, or can you give us any details on that?
It was kind of, you know, like, if you're standing at a window and, like, you see something on the ground and you want to look at it, you know how you, like, bend your back a little bit and, you know, just to look at it? That's what it was doing. It was kind of, you know, just slightly arching its back, like, look down. And the face was looking down. It you know, it had, you know, no body fat at all. It just looked, it looked like a cartoon. Like, if somebody were to sit down and draw the perfect King Kong, that's what they would draw.
And was there any facial hair that you noticed?
I didn't really notice any, Wes. I mean, it might have had a few, but I didn't notice any facial hair. Oddly enough, the hair on the areas on the rest of his body, you would have thought would have had hair, was very, very fine. And it was, you know, it was basically 5 o'clock shadow, just on the rest of its body, but slightly longer. You know, it looked like if you were to not shave for, you know, 2 weeks and you get that little, you know, stubble beard starting to grow, that's what it reminded me of. That's what it looked like on the rest of its body, that I could visibly see leather, not leather, but skin. And then it transfixed, you know, just hair. I couldn't see its back. I'm sure its back was covered in fur. But the thing I remember is if it was a gorilla and it was a gorilla at the zoo, it would be well-groomed. It would be, you know, kept in real good shape, you know, get a haircut, whatever. I could tell this thing, has been living in the woods.
It must have been terrifying to sit there at the window, literally inches from the window, and it's looking back at you, and then not really having it change expression, just sit there with a blank stare looking at you. I think that'd be almost terrifying. It almost more than if it growled or if it showed its teeth, or at least then you know its intention. When they have that blank stare, as I've had witnesses on in the past, it terrifies people because they're not really sure what they're going to do. They don't really.
Yeah, it was. It left me, you know, just like, whoa, what's going to happen? You know, if you look at a person, and the most dangerous person in the room is the guy that never changes his face.
It's true.
You know, because if I see somebody getting visibly upset, I can be like, you know, I'll step off. But if I see that guy just blank staring at me, how am I going to know where's my limit to push him?
Now, after all of this happened, you had mentioned that feeling of being watched. Had the creature come up any more to that window, or had you experienced anything else around the property?
I've heard things, and, you know, one other thing that I can't explain is that, you know, I was so terrified at summer. I was in the summertime, especially when it's hot, and, you know, you've got a door open, and you leave, you know, the neighborhood. Not the neighborhood, but I lived at. I lived there. There's no neighbors. There was one neighbor a mile down the road, and then there was another neighbor 5 miles down the other way. You know, if you needed help, it took the sheriff. It take the sheriff 45 minutes just to get there. You know, it's kind of like the perfect place to commit a murder because there's nobody there, and it's also the perfect place to disappear because there's hardly anybody there. You know, I'll still have things that, like, bother me about it. You know, why was it there? What was it going to do to me? I don't know. Was it there because there was an argument and it heard the argument and it's curious? Was it there to destroy my house and I just happened to look and catch it off guard? You know, why was it there? That's my main question. Maybe when we moved in, you know, because there hadn't been anybody living that place in that lot for 10 years. Maybe I was in its property. I mean, I don't know.
What I can tell you from talking to a lot of witnesses, and this is just my own personal opinion. Again, I'm not too proud to say I could be wrong. But in that situation, it almost seems like curiosity. You know, I've had witnesses on before in the past where they've come up to windows and they're adults now retelling the story. Yeah, but, you know, as child, not really children, I mean, 13, 14 years old. I mean, we're not talking about two-year-olds, but, you know, people of age.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
They'll say, you know, I've had them say it was motioning for me to almost like come outside or come closer to the window, or which I think is completely terrifying. This one, though, its behavior seems more like curiosity. It just kind of came up, was looking at you, was trying to figure out what you were doing. And you were looking back at it. You weren't really, because of fear, you weren't really making any quick motions. You didn't scream. So you guys were just locked eyes, looked at each other. And then it walked off. It almost makes you wonder if it heard something. You said it turned and there was a flash and it was gone.
Yeah, that maybe in the dark somewhere there was the Sasquatch that I didn't see that was, you know, motioning. Hey, there, come on.
Did you notice any ears or did you notice a neck at all?
It's this thing, you know, I've seen most of its upper body. It looked, the neck, this thing had a trap, you know, it's, if you've ever looked at some of those bodybuilder guys that have, there's just humongous traps where it doesn't look like they have a neck. It kind of looked like that, but the head, the neck, kind of was stuck out from the traps almost in an awkward fashion. You know, it looked like you took somebody's neck and squished it down, then put like muscles around it is what I remember it looking like.
What about any ears? Did you notice any ears?
Very, very small ears, smaller than most people's. And they weren't like human ears, you know, where they stick out the sides. They look like they're part of the skull itself. It just looked like an opening, you know, to hear out of. You know, not like human ears at all. You know, it looked like it was designed designed for a purpose other than hearing. It looked like it was designed to be protected from something, you know, almost kind of like grew into the side of the skull is what it reminded me of.
And that's what you hear a lot of times from witnesses. You know, they do have necks, but they're very short. The way you described them is exactly the way I've heard it before in the past. Very, very short. From a distance, any sort of distance, even like 20 feet, looking at it, you would think it didn't have a neck. But being as close as you were, that's how a lot of people describe them, and kind of in a different spot. The ears are interesting. That's how people describe them. The ears, too, very close cropped, not like human ears. And a lot of times people don't see the ears because of the hair. But the ones who do get to see the ears, they are... You know, just the way you described him, very close crop, not like human ears. How big were the eyes compared to, let's say, your eyes?
My eyes, you know, I've got, you know, just your average size eye. This thing was, take your hand and circle, you know, like make a cup kind of without your hands connecting. Make a U with your hands just almost as close as you can without touching them, put them on your eyes. That's how big it was. And the skull was way bigger than mine, way wider, you know. And I've got a big head. I'll admit that. I've got a big old head.
Yeah.
But it's way bigger than mine. It's way bigger. I wanted to say something else about the ears. They're not on the sides of our heads like we are. They're almost closer to the skull itself. You know, like our ears, you know, you've kind of got your jawbone, and they kind of start at your jawbone almost, and they go behind. This thing was closer to the skull.
When you say that, what do you mean? Like higher up and back?
It looked like if you were to take an ear and scoot it forward an inch, and if you could physically move an ear forward, the base of the ear forward an inch or two. That to me describes it perfectly. Yeah, very, very primate-like. You know, if you've ever seen a gorilla's ears, your ears almost look like they're high. You know, like I said, higher up, and they're very close cropped. They're very small to the head. You know, they're a little bit closer. I think they're a little bit closer to the jawbone than ours are. You know, but I couldn't tell you the exact dimensions on the skull. You know, without seeing the skull. Because I don't know if anybody's ever seen our skull. If you were to take our skull, it doesn't look like what you think our skull would look. You know, if you were to take a little kid and, all right, draw me what you think the skull looks like. You know, very square, but it doesn't. Our skulls look completely different than what you would think they would if you had no knowledge of biology, you know?
Yeah, it's a fascinating, fascinating encounter. I mean, it's something I'm sure it'll be with you till the day you die. And I'm sure it changed your whole world outlook on what's out there and what's not actually out there.
It did, man. It made me think, you know, before that I kind of had this, you know, there's a lot of people with this ego that I've met, especially hunters. I'm a fellow hunter myself. I love to hunt. I'm very an avid outdoorsman. I'll spend weeks upon weeks in the outdoors. But, you know, we've got this ego about themselves, and I've learned this just from, you know, especially after that. I've learned that humans aren't the top of the food chain. There's something out there that will kill you. The only reason we're so big is we have guns and we have bows. If humankind was before the Stone Age, before anything, we'd be the prey. We'd be the deer.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Hunter, you ran in. Where did you run into the DNR officer at? Was that in?
I was in the middle of nowhere in the Salt Fork State Park.
And tell us what happened.
We were in the middle of nowhere, and you know, I was just looking around. I was camping. It was way out of hunting season, and I remember hearing something in the woods, very faint off, like a howl. You know, the classic. Whoa, you know, just way, way off. And I know that sucked, but that's a sucky howl.
That's all right.
You know, I just kind of heard that. I think I heard the last part of it. I heard something that sounded human, you know, You know, humans, if you've ever heard a human walk in the woods, you know what the human sound is. I heard these steps, and I also heard something that was, it sounded like an animal just running, chasing something, is what it reminded me of. It reminded me of a very fast chase. And then later on, I come upon this trail. I can tell it's a human trail. I can see machete marks. I can see, you know, I remember there was a cigarette butt or two. You know, oh, that to me, that, you know, that kind of pissed me off. And I was like, all right, if this is somebody, I'm going to give them hell. And I came upon this DNR officer shortly after finding that cigarette butt. And he comes to me and he's like, you know, I'm not going to say exactly what he said. I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit for the listeners. You know, he said, well, are you messing with me? He said it. You know, he said some expletives. Are you messing with me? If you're messing with me, I'm going to kill you. And I will bury you, and I won't get in trouble for it, because I'm not the person you mess with. Don't mess with me. You know, and it pissed me off, because number one, you're a DNR officer. You're supposed to represent people. You're supposed to be the person. And you threaten my life. You know, I don't care if I've got a gun or not. I'll hit you with a gun. You know, I don't want to kill you, but if you try to kill me, you better hope I don't get to you first.
What was he referring to?
And I think, you know, eventually I got him to calm down. He's like, dude, I think I seen a Bigfoot. Or he's like, I know Bigfoots don't exist, but if I was a believer, I'd say it was a Bigfoot. But I think it's a man in a monkey suit, and you're the only person I've seen around here, and you ain't big enough to be this thing. So if you got a buddy around here, you need to tell him stop being a bitch. You know, I'm sorry about that. Stop being a wimp and face me like a man, you know. He felt very threatened from what I gathered. I can tell when somebody is being standoffish because they feel like they're in a threat and they have to say something to scare that person off. That's what I gathered from that.
So obviously someone or something was messing with them, and probably off the vocals you heard, it wasn't a someone. You know, I get so tired of hearing the monkey suit argument from people. It's like, really, how many people go and buy monkey suits and run around in the forest?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard, you know, the argument of the Patterson-Gimlin footage was a Hollywood stuntman that did movies where he would dress up like he was in a monkey suit. And he said he had this real, like, gorilla walk, this stride. And I've heard that. So I was like, first off, nobody can pay me that much to do that, because that messes with the people's heads that are non-believers, and that makes skeptics out of more people, which pisses me off.
It really is a ridiculous argument. I mean, even here in the Pacific Northwest, and generally speaking, the Pacific Northwest is pretty liberal. But you get on a monkey suit, you'll run around out there in the woods, and that's a quick way to get shot out here. Because the hunters out here will put a bullet in you if they see something like that.
Oh, yeah. 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 Even I would, you know, if I had, you know, I don't want to say, I would only kill a Bigfoot if it was threatening me. If it was, you know, if I see one, then if I think, you know, because I've seen one before, if I'm a good enough distance away, I'm going to slowly pull out my camera, my phone, whatever I've got on me, take a video, take a couple pictures if I can. Then I'm gonna go to somebody. If I ever do get to see Bigfoot again, I'll send you the video if I can get a video.
Well, yeah, no. If you ever get anything, let me know. And I appreciate it, man. And I appreciate you coming on and sharing the encounter. You know, when you're that close to them, that piece of glass really is nothing. And so I can't even imagine how terrified you must have been at the time. And just knowing, I guess being a hunter now, it doesn't sound like it affected you going back out in the woods, but you know what else is out there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big believer. I believe aliens are possible. I'm pretty big into science and space and the exploration, whatever. Aliens might be possible. You know, are they? Nobody's really going to know. And, you know, I'll definitely give your brother a show a listen. I'm not a very long time says. I'm not a very big paranormal believer. Is it possible? Yes, 100%. We humans know almost nothing about science. Is it possible? Yeah. And so, but I'm not a very big believer in it. I'm a scientist. I have to see it for myself. I have to see the evidence. I have to see it.
A lot of people are that way. You know, they have to see it. And especially in this topic, the way it's presented most of the time, especially in this topic, people have to see it to believe it. It's like I always say, be careful what you wish for, because that might just happen.
You know, God works in mysterious ways.
You're absolutely right. Well, Hunter, I really do appreciate you coming on, man, and sharing the experience. It's one of those things that, like I said, it's going to stick with you the rest of your life. And you had a great description, and I think even being a grown man like me, I'd be terrified, man, being a couple inches away. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing it.
Yeah, well, no problem. I just Wes, no problem, man. If you ever want to have me back on the podcast, just give me a call, Facebook message me. You know, maybe we could do. You know, I know you have an hour of free content, which is usually stories, and then usually the last hour of paid content, usually, you know, just, you know, talk about different things on the web and whatever. If you want to do that with me, anytime, feel free, Wes.
I appreciate that, man.
And make it easy on you, man.
Thanks, brother. And thanks for sharing.
All right, man. No problem. Have a blessed day.
Well, next up, I want to welcome Steve to the show. Hey, Steve, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate you coming on tonight and telling us about what you saw.
Yeah, it ain't no problem, man. You're welcome.
And if you would, kind of start from the beginning. I know you're out in Alabama. For the audience, just walk them right into what happened and what you saw, what you experienced.
It was early Saturday morning. I put my dog in the car. We went out for a drive, and I went up in the kind of the backwoods areas, way out of the city, and we were just driving around. Well, my dog started whining, wanting to be let out, so I stopped and I let my dog out. And whenever I let my dog out, I just sat around letting him do his thing. Well, I got to looking where we were. There was another road kind of coming up to a T, and I was just looking down that road. Well, whenever I started looking at that road, I noticed there's this big black, it looked like a wolf to me. So I turned around, check on my dog, but whenever I turned back around, this thing's standing up on its hind legs. You know, that really freaked me out. And I'm watching this thing, and all of a sudden, you know, it literally took a step. You know, like walking. At that point, just to be honest with you, I said, well, the hell with this. I snatched my dog up and, you know, I got in the car. Well, when I got in the car, the way out, I had to go by this thing. So when I get in the car and crank the car up, I'm watching him the whole time whenever I crank the car up. He knows, he knew instantly I was there. Then whenever I turned the corner, which I think he knew I was there before. But whenever I turned the corner, he drops all fours, and it's speed like I've never saw. He just tears across the road. But whenever he was running across the road, you know, he was pissed off. I mean, he looked pissed off. He was shaking his head like, you know, I don't know, like he was mad. And like I say, man, it's just nothing I've ever saw before, you know. And I've never saw anything before in my life. And I don't discredit people that do see things. I mean, that's, you know, I don't, you know, it's not my place to tell somebody else what they saw or not. But I've never really believed. Well, you know, I mean, it really makes me question.
No, yeah, and that would make you question things. I know you heard me on Talk as Jericho when I was talking to Chris about the devil dogs. And, you know, down in California, I mean, they're pretty open about it. The Border Patrol guys down there are pretty open about this devil dog thing they run into. And they describe it just like you did, Steve. I mean, it stands up on two legs, kind of looks at them, I wanted to ask you, when you were looking at this thing, how far away from you was this thing?
Estimating probably, I would say 50, maybe 75 yards. Probably not even that far. You know, I mean, you know, and that's just estimating, you know, a wild guess.
Yeah, no, and that's okay.
I was more concerned with, you know, getting on out of there and getting around civilians. I mean, because, like I say, where I was, you know, I mean, there's a couple of houses out there, but there's not many people out there at all. It's just woodlands and dirt roads, basically.
So you're in a pretty remote location. How many steps did it take when it was standing up?
It took two steps that I saw with my own eyes, you know, and it was, you know, didn't have no problem with balance or anything like that. Like I say, it just, you know, but once it did that was the point where I was, okay, I'm kind of over looking at this thing, you know, let me get out of here.
How tall would you say the creature was compared to, like, yourself, Steve, when you're looking at it, when it was standing up?
About anywhere between 6'2", maybe 6'4". It was definitely taller than me. I'm 5'8". You know, I have no doubt he was taller than I was.
Yeah, and that's interesting that it was that tall. I know, like I said, I hate going back to the Border Patrol guys. Well, I can even give you a better story. I was telling you the other day about the state trooper that almost hit one, and he said that he thought it was a wolf until it stood up and it looked right at him, and he's describing to me what he saw, and he's like, man, this thing was probably, I think he said around 6'5", and it was pretty big, but he said it was basically a wolf standing up on two legs looking right at him. And he described the body as being kind of the upper body being real wide and then going down to a real skinny waist and then kind of being like dog legs. I mean, it was a real weird description. I wanted to ask you, how would you describe the creature?
No, it exactly the same. He was, the head was real wolf-like. The upper torso part of him, or his chest, was real muscular. I mean, very muscular, almost pit bullish like. But, you know, not to be funny, you know, his lower half looked like a bodybuilder that skipped leg day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just you know, it kind of disproportioned, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that because that's basically what he said, very unproportioned. The lower legs were a lot smaller. Did you notice any hands? Did it have hands or claws, or did you even notice that at the time?
I didn't. Honestly, I didn't even, you know, I didn't notice, you know, like I say, once it stood up and took them two steps, you know, it was all about getting out of there. And I'm not believing he ran across the road. I mean, it surprised me that he ran across the road. Something must have been over there that he wanted to get at, because he could have easily turned back around and ran in the woods he came out of.
No, I understand that completely. You know, especially when you're in that position and you're terrified. Sometimes people don't really pay attention to the details. I'd imagine it threw you off as soon as you saw this wolf stand up like a man and take a couple steps. One of the things I think is very interesting about your story, you know, and I've talked to other people about this too, that have experienced the same thing you did, that your impression was it was shaking its head like it was mad or it was angry or in a rage of some kind. And that's kind of a very interesting detail to bring up.
Well, my impression was that he was mad or enraged that he was seen, that someone saw him, if that makes sense to you. And like I say, like I told you before, he just had just a real evil look about him, you know. He just, I don't know how it gave me the willy, something awful. And I'm not one to, you know, I'm nothing special or nothing like that, but I'm not one to get scared awful quickly, you know what I'm saying? But this right here, yeah, this is on a whole new level. It just, you know, I didn't know what I was looking at.
Yeah, when you mentioned evil, what was it about it that made you think this thing's evil?
Well, like I said, when it was running, I kind of got a look at its head, and it's just the way that his eyes was, you know, just the way his facials was just, and, you know, I almost can't explain it. It's just, you know, the way he looked, it's just the vibe he put off.
And I'm not beating you up by any means. I've almost every witness I talk to, when they see these dog men or devil dogs or whatever you want to call them, which I think is a separate species than Bigfoot, most every witness, actually I can say every witness I've ever spoken to said it was evil, said there was something evil about it. There was something not right about it. And that's interesting because, you know, with a lot of Bigfoot encounters, you'll get that sometimes from people. They'll say it was evil. I know, like, I just had Hunter on the show, and he's looking at the red eyes, and he's looking at this thing, so you can kind of anticipate he would say it was evil, but I would say most of the time with Sasquatch encounters, you don't get that, but with these Dogman encounters, almost every single time, people say it was evil. It just, the vibe it gave off, and
right.
The feeling I had was I needed to get away from this thing.
Yeah, I have no doubt in my mind. If it could have gotten to us, it would have done, you know, tried to do some damage.
Yeah, no, and that's what you hear about these dogmen, devil dogs, again, whatever title you want to give them. That's what you hear most of the time from people, is they were very aggressive, very violent, and had no qualms about coming after you. Which is interesting because it's a little bit different than Sasquatch. You know, sometimes with Sasquatch, they'll get up and walk away, or it's more of a curiosity, and they'll get up and walk away. I mean, sometimes you do get a lot of violent encounters with them. I was talking to one of the tribal elders here in Washington State, and he told me, he goes, Wes, I don't think we have them here in Washington State, but if you see one, shoot it. Don't think twice, blast it. You know, and I thought that was kind of an interesting thing for him to say, because his take on Sasquatch was a little bit different. He still had no qualms about shooting one, but he said with these dogman things, just blast them. And so it makes you wonder, what are they? What is it that people are seeing? And going back to your encounter, Steve, it's very consistent. One thing I can say is it's very consistent across the board on what people are seeing. Most of the time they think they're a wolf until they stand up. And then, you know, I've had hunters on that said it was the biggest wolf I'd ever seen, and then it stood up like a man, and that's what threw me off. And it acted different than a wolf once I realized this really isn't a wolf.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. It was just, it was, you know, I don't care to ever see one again. I'll put it to you like that. And honestly, you know, I'm a real big outdoorsman. I'm not really a hunter to per se. I mean, I have nothing against hunting, but and now when I'm out and about in the woods, you know, my head would be on a swivel.
Well, no one can blame you there. I don't blame you for being on a swivel. You know, you've seen something very few people get to see, and they're out there. They're down there in the South. I get reports of them all the time down there. So, you know, be careful when you're out there, you know?
No doubt. You know, and I make sure not to leave anywhere without some type of protection, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and that's the best way to go, I think.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, I appreciate you coming on. It's a fascinating encounter, and like I said, it's something that a lot of people are seeing out in those woods. You know, this dog man, this devil dog, I have a lot of law enforcement that have seen him. And they're terrified by them. I'm just glad that you weren't hurt, your dog wasn't hurt, and you were able to tell the story. So thank you for coming on.
I'm glad we wasn't hurt, too. And, yeah, man, you're welcome. And like I say, if I ever see anything else again, you'll be the first one I call.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. You're welcome.
And that's it for tonight, everyone. Remember, if you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you get a chance, check out the website, SasquatchChronicles.com. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter under SasquatchChron. Until next time, everyone, have a great night.
Someone is a human and